talk. Just 1 second. Secretary Rusk, operator.
Saville Davis thing.
Yes, sir.
And it concerns me a great deal. I don't want to be in the position of being a McCarthy. I don't know much more than I told the candidates themselves the other day, which my notes will reflect there, namely that these folks had tentatively agreed out there to go along, and then they started having doubts because we had reports of some folks, the old China lobby, contacting embassies, etc. Now, I can't get much more specific than that, A, because of the sensitivity of the source, and B, because of the limited nature of the information. I told Smathers that, Senator Smathers, who called saying that he understood from what I told Dirksen that I was likely to make public this information if it were confirmed and if they kept interfering with it. I also told Dirksen that I believe that the friends of one of the candidates was reporting to the folks out there that they ought to wait.
Right.
I did that on the basis of two things. One, the intercept from the ambassador,
right,
saying that he had had a call and the boss said wait and so forth. And second, this China lobby operation, the madam involved. Now, I don't want to have information that ought to be public and not make it so. At the, on the other hand, we have a lot of I don't know how much we can do there, and I know we'll be charged with trying to interfere with the election. And I think this is something that's going to require the best judgments that we have. I'm rather concerned by this Saville Davis conversation with the embassy this morning.
Now, what's the conversation? Well,
the Christian Science Monitor man called the embassy this morning and wanted to see the ambassador, and he was unavailable. He told the party answering that he wanted to check out a story received from his correspondent in Saigon, that he planned to come to the embassy and wait until he could see him, that the dispatch from Saigon contained the elements of a major scandal, which involves the Vietnamese ambassador, and which will affect presidential candidate Nixon if the Monitor publishes it. Time is of the essence, inasmuch as Davis has a deadline to meet if he publishes it.
Right.
He speculated that should the story be published, it will create a great deal of excitement.
Right.
Now, what he gets from Saigon is well and good and fine, but if he gets it from us, I want to be sure that we try to do it in such a way that our motives are not questioned, and that if the public interest requires it, and two, and that's the only thing I want to operate under. I'm not interested in the politics of it. The second thing is, I want to be sure that what we say is can be confirmed.
Well, Mr. President, I have a very definite view on this. What it's worth, I do not believe that any president can make any use of interceptions or telephone taps in any way that would involve politics. The moment we cross over that divide, we're in a different kind of society.
Yeah.
Now, if this story is coming out of Saigon, I don't myself see how it could have come from American sources in Saigon, because we've been extremely careful not to pass along details of this sort of thing out there. It could have come from South Vietnamese sources. I don't know. Did Samuel Davis say from what kind of sources it came?
He just says that he informed the ambassador. He wanted to check out a story received from a correspondent in Saigon.
Right.
And he planned to come to the embassy and wait for the ambassador to see him. Now, he has also tried to see the White House.
Well, I would think that we are, that since we are not involved in any contacts that the Republicans might have had with the South Vietnamese ambassador, that this is a matter on which only the Republicans could comment, and that we stay out of it completely. I really think it would be very unwise. I mean, we get a lot of information through these special channels that we don't make public. I mean, for example, some of the malfeasances of senators and congressmen and other people that we don't make public. And I think that we must continue to respect the classification of that kind of material. And I think that all we can say is that we're not going to comment on such matters. That's for others to comment on if they have anything to say on it. But to be very sure that we ourselves are not ourselves putting out this story.
Clark, do you have any reaction?
I could not hear what Dean said.
I can't hear whoever that is.
I can hear the president very clearly, but all I can hear is Dean's voice, but I can't get his words.
Well, Dean just says he doesn't think that we can confirm or say anything or have any comment in connection with it on the basis of the sensitivity of the information.
Well, I would think there'd be a good deal of merit to that. I'd go on to another reason also, and that is, I think that some elements of the story are so shocking in their nature that I'm wondering whether it would be good for the country to disclose the story and then possibly have a certain individual elected. It could cast his whole administration under such doubt that I would think it would be inimical to our country's interests.
Well, I have no doubt about that, but what about the story being published and our knowing of it and our being charged with hushing it or something?
Oh, I think on that, Mr. President.
I don't believe that would bother me. I think that the very amount of information that we have that we don't think we should publicize, it has to do with the sensitivity of the sources. It has to do with the absence of absolute proof. So I don't believe we have the kind of story justified in putting out.
Fine. I think both of you should have a paragraph from this report so you can look at it, and also a question from Nixon in the light of what his people are doing again today. They are going back over this thing, and he's having Senator Tower to say it's politics and stuff like that. But in this conversation the other day, which you were present, I said to him that this thing, we had had these three propositions up to them for some time. Since certainly the early part of October, they were nibbling. That because of some speeches, I had in mind the Bundy and Humphrey speeches, and Humphrey was on the other end of the line, and certainly McCarthy's type of stuff. Because of certain speeches that were made at that time, I don't know what effect they had, but anyway, they went off and kind of let up for a week or so to Hanoi. Since that time, we had gone out to our allies and got them to tentatively agree, emphasize tentatively agree that this would be a wise move. Then the old China lobby starts operating, contacting some embassies and others. And that interferes with the situation that I knew from what they had said to me previously, the three candidates, that they were not being responsible for this, but that I thought they ought to know that it created some minor problems and we were trying to work them out. A little later, Nixon asked the question whether we would stop bombing the South, and then said, of course, Mr. President, I know you don't know whether the conference will come off or not, implying that I had made my point that they had these problems. But would you stop bombing the South? And I told him no, I wouldn't, and so forth. Now, he takes the position that he was under the impression that South Vietnam was going to be at the conference, and I told him yesterday, we're all hoping it would be at the conference, and we had believed up until this China thing got into it that we had reason to believe that on two or three separate occasions that the president shared our view. But after this got into it, it created some doubt, and I told him of that doubt. He would keep running away from it. I remind him that a time or two. I noticed that a little bit later, he said in California something that kind of confirmed what he said on Meet the Press, that all of us thought South Vietnamese would be there and so forth, but he didn't say that he had been warned. Now, he has been warned. That may be a little too strong a word for it. But we told him we did have a problem with it, and he knew that. And I confirmed that with Humphrey yesterday, too. So I think, Walt, you ought to get to... I'll get Jim Jones to put on the wire to you, Walt, the two paragraphs I have in mind. You see that they get to one for you and one to Rusk and one to Clifford. Well, you get the Nixon question, and you also get there's a good part there. I'll try to get it to you, because I specifically want to show you what I want them to see.
All right. I'll wait for it.
What'd you say, Dean?
That's right. I just think that our strongest position here is, if such a story is going to run, and my guess is they'll publish it anyhow, is for us to say that we're in no position to get into that kind of thing. Not confirm it, but even no comment from us would tend to leave open the possibility there might be something in it. But I just think it's not for the President of the Secretary of State to appear to get into that story at all.
Is that your opinion, Clark?
I still can't hear Dean, Mr. President.
Dean says it's his opinion that we should just say we cannot get into that at all, period.
Well, I'd better have a talk with Dean about it. I think that would indicate that maybe we had information